Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, the 17th day of July, 2024, in the year of our Lord. You know, I have with me right now a very, very special guest. It's hard to believe that. I was thinking last night after speaking with this gentleman on the telephone that I was thinking after our conversation, I've known this man almost a decade, pretty close to a decade. And when I first met him, I'm telling you right now, I was awestruck, and I continue to be awestruck, not because of any, worship of any man or anything like that, but the way this man, first of all, his experience, his knowledge, and then, of course, his relationship with God that has grown, and he's taught me much about that very issue. And, you know, this week, a couple of days, we had addressed and opened with, one day opened and then the next day discussed the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, putting on the armor of God, and how that relates to what happened this past Saturday at 611 in Butler, just 94 miles from where I sit, 95 miles from where I sit, with respect to hopefully the next president of the United States, Donald Trump. But with me is Craig Sawyer. Now, he appeared in the war room with Owen Schroyer yesterday. I hope everyone caught it. If you didn't catch it, I will put the link in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. And I ask folks, I ask that you please subscribe to us on Rumble, subscribe to us on Brighteon, and also tell others about this program as well as this episode specifically, because Craig Sawman Sawyer is a man with knowledge and with deep faith, and I believe they work together. Now, for those of you who don't know who Craig Sawman Sawyer is, wow, okay, I've got a bio page right here. And I'm just going to read very quickly, just a short, two or three sentences. Craig Sawyer, also known as Sawman, he grew up near Houston and got his tactical start in the U.S. Marine Corps. He quickly transitioned to the U.S. Navy to pursue high-level special operations as a U.S. Navy SEAL. As an operator at SEAL Team 1, Craig gained critical combat experience in Desert Shield, Desert Storm, resulting in decoration for heroic service. Operations include capturing of the first prisoners of war, combat search and rescue operations, sniper operations, reconnaissance operations, counter mine operations. Boy, that sounds like a fun job, right? Send me out there, okay, looking for mines. Yeah, you'd be picking up pieces of me for the next year and a half. Fast-track vehicle operations and so on. Folks, go to Tactical Insider. The link will be in the program description box. But very quickly, before I bring him on, this is just a segment. As he appeared with Craig Sawyer, or with Owen Schroyer yesterday, this is just a little bit of a introduction at the beginning of his appearance. And I would urge everyone to watch this, watch the entire interview, because it's a fantastic interview. He brings common sense to a rather complex subject. But, you know, look, he knows what he's talking about. He's lived pretty much all of this in one form or another. Again, read his bio with Tactical Insider. And he also has, you know him from this platform, Vets for Child Rescue, which, by the way, he's doing a fantastic job. And I urge you to support his endeavors, Vets for Child Rescue, which will be in the program description box. Having said that, this is just about 2.5 minute clip from yesterday. So he doesn't have to go over this again. I won't make him do that again. But But take a listen, take a look at this.
Obviously, it wasn't that way. So why was there so little security? Why were there not assets there? And someone in charge who had President Trump's best interest in mind to the degree that where they would deploy friendlies on all the major terrain features where we always do. Anytime you've got high ground, this is something I'm sure a lot of your guests have talked about. All the obvious stuff, you put people there, you deny that ground, that territory to the bad guys. You just do because you can and you've got that responsibility. So why was all that responsibility waived? Owen, was what came across me. And I felt a sick feeling in my gut, like this is not possible under any standard operating procedures. So many standards had to be waived and omitted for this to happen. So it's in any catastrophe throughout human history, it's not one thing that causes the entire chain of events to unfold. It is an entire chain of failures that leads to it. If you look at the sinking of any major ship, there's a list of things that have to fail for that ship to go down. And it's the same thing in this case with a young man with a rifle to be able to start spraying and praying upon the president at that really pistol shooting distance for some of us. So it's very upsetting to witness. And then the aftermath of how they covered and evacuated the principal, being President Trump, was even more concerning. And the fact that his agent in charge did not have control of him and that he was able to stand up and, you know, although I celebrate Owen, him standing up and saying fight. And I mean, it's very inspiring and motivating. But if you look at yourself as a bad guy, if you imagine that you're a triangulated pair of snipers and your crosshairs are on him and his head pops back up, all you got to do is break the shot and his head vaporizes. There goes the end of freedom for the United States, as far as I'm concerned, because I don't see anybody else going up against the deep state, going up against all of those who are corrupt and ruining our nation. And he seems to be not bought out, not part of the system. So they hate him and they want him dead. And we are witnessing so many failures in our federal system with the FBI and the Secret Service and even within the CIA. And there are so many things that are betrayals of our country that are so heartbreaking to those of us who have served and protected our nation. And it's heartbreaking, Owen, but it's also angering. So we cannot sit back. We, the citizens, cannot sit back with our hands off the wheel and hope somebody else is going to fix this. We have to assert ourselves now.
That was a brief clip from Owen Schroer, the interview. Again, I urge everyone to watch it. And again, I urge everyone to support the efforts of Craig Sawyer, especially in his Vets for Child Rescue operation. Craig, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining me on short notice. I know you're a busy man, and I appreciate you. It's good to see you, my friend. It seems like it's been a while.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate you having me on. I really do. Covering this important topic.
You know, there are so many people out there who don't believe we're going to get the true story of exactly what happened this weekend. I know before airtime we talked about some spiritual things, which we'll get into. But in the practical sense, what's your basic assessment of what the heck happened on Saturday? By the way, I had a very gut-wrenching bad feeling on Saturday. I even told my wife I said, man, you know, because she said, well, he might announce his VP pick. And I said, I think this is going to go down in history for a different reason, something to that effect. And I was very troubled by this. But what happened? Where do we even start? Because you've been in this situation, you know about all of these things.
Well, what happened was we have a former president and the one who most believe will be the next president in public with what appears to be what I would refer to as a skeleton crew of security, inadequate security around him. And we have to ask why that was the case. And I think most Americans value him to the degree that we want him adequately protected. And when you see the head of Homeland Security, Mr. Mayorkas, reducing his security to this degree, we have to ask why. And I feel sick at my stomach, feeling like I know that we're not going to get an honest answer why. I've seen director of agency after agency completely dismantled in congressional session by people like Matt Gaetz and Eli Crane, asking them intelligent questions, and they can't answer why they failed their duties, why they don't know their jobs, why they're not shouldering the responsibility or accountability for the failures of their agencies and even the hostility of their agencies under gross mismanagement against our Constitution, against the best interests of the American people. I'm like, okay, if there's not a SWAT team that takes this corrupt director of whatever agency down right there, then we have nobody paying attention. There's no DOJ. There's no corrective mechanism for our federal corruption. So what we witnessed on Saturday was an unthinkable failure in our national security. It looks like they put a very thin and inadequate level of protection upon Donald Trump and allowed a situation to play out that shouldn't have even been allowed to play out if it was just a local barbecue or a local, you know, pop star singing a song at a farm. And I mean, if there's any security responsible for that venue, they're going to take basic practical precautions. And to have a shooter up on the nearest rooftop within 170 yards and crawl around for minutes and then level a weapon and take numerous shots at our former president is unthinkable. So we the American citizens are scratching our heads going, okay, that's not allowed to happen. That's not possible under any normal circumstances. That hasn't happened in 60 years. You know, even if you look at what happened when President Reagan was shot with a 22, look at the Secret Service response. It was swift. It was immediate. And it was handled professionally. And they took the president and they moved him off the X immediately and acted appropriately. It was excellence, in my opinion. And nobody's going to be perfect under those circumstances because adrenaline, you know, coursing through your veins, heart rates spike, and the cognitive clarity can struggle under sudden violent human confrontation. So we've studied the psychology of it, and we work through it by drilling and training and rehearsing so that we perfect our responses in this, and it becomes normal. But it's not normal. Even when you've done it thousands of times, you still have to work to focus and be proficient on a sudden violent confrontation like that between humans. It's not natural, and it's very upsetting internally. So I look at this situation and I see something had to allow this shooter to be there and allow this leisurely, almost access to the president and to unload on him. And it seems like, at first glance, a setup. It seems like our security was omitted and stood down, and this guy was allowed to come and attack. So the question now is, okay, what's going to come out of the investigation, and what are we really going to learn? And that's the only thing we can judge from now. Is after such a failure in security, who's responsible for that thin security? Who's responsible for those people being on the president and serving in that detail who were not well enough coordinated and rehearsed and trained and prepared? Because they deserve better training and preparation. So why were they put there with people that they may not have been that familiar with and certainly didn't seem that coordinated with? That's not like any team I've deployed around the world. So why was that the case? And that's what we need to ask. And Doug, I feel sick at my stomach, feeling sure that we're not going to get any straight answers because, again, I've witnessed all these directors just give us bogus non-answers. And so that's my first take on it.
Well, and I totally agree with you on this. Now, we did this week, we did play the events at the Washington Hilton back in March of 1981, and we showed, well, there it is on your screen right there, the different response of the Secret Service agents. Sadly, that's not the angle I was trying for at the when I pulled this initially, but they responded a lot differently, and of course, they have the perp on the ground there. So this is a different Secret Service today than it was in 1981. So that's obvious, and it blows my mind to see what happened on Saturday versus this kind of response. But having said all of that, and thank you, Eric Deck, for doing that, I've often been told not to ascribe conspiracy in place, or not to say something is a result of conspiracy, when it could be just mere incompetence. But I cannot fathom, Craig, and get this out, I can't shake this, that this was a lot more than incompetence. This had to be, to me, this 20-year-old matchstick had to have some sort of help, especially when we learned, too, Craig, that he had a detonator with for explosives. Just so many irregularities to me. Well, let me pose this question. Do you think this is, as it appears to be, just a series of failures, or could there be something more nefarious involved here? Yep, I think you're muted.
Sorry. I think the reason people are suspecting conspiratorial efforts in this situation is because it gives the distinct appearance of people having conspired to allow this, because standard operating procedures would prevent this scenario entirely. So this is a basic principle of security that was waived. Why was it waived? Now, we have a director of the Secret Service inexplicably coming up with an idea that, well, the roof was sloped, so it was too dangerous to have Secret Service agents. Well, look, I've known a lot of Secret Service agents over the years, and I didn't know any of them that were so frail that they couldn't have stood up or sat down on that roof, because it wasn't very steep of a slope. Oh, and by the way, the counter sniper shot and killed the assassin from a steeper sloped barn top.
Right.
So if that slope is too steep to have people on, then you could not have had that counter sniper up on the barn or the building that he was occupying. And so it's a ridiculous notion. No, the slope was not too great. It was almost a flat roof. So it was really kind of silly response by the director. So it shows us, folks, the level of deceit that we're getting, the level of incompetence and corruption that we're dealing with in our federal government. And the problem is, the weak promote the weak. We do not have strong people of character at a lot of the top positions in our federal agencies right now. And so weak people and weak-charactered people have promoted other weak-charactered people, and it perpetuates until finally we have an entire agency that's run by a headshed of 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 people at the top who are moral and ethical weaklings, only focused on their own job and paycheck, not focused on the mission and our national security and their service and duty to the American people who pay them. So that's what has led to this, in my opinion, and I'm anxious to hear what comes out of it. But I don't have any confidence that we'll get any truth or any accountability, any true leadership, that someone that'll step up and say, this is my responsibility, I'm accountable, here's where I failed you, here's what I'm doing to correct it, so that today, As we speak, it is fixed. Someone else is in charge. Someone else is behind them. And the standard operating procedures have changed, or the enforcement of our procedures has been revised and ensured. And so this scenario will not happen tomorrow.
Amen.
I don't think we're going to see that, because that's true leadership.
Yeah, and we lack that today. I watched, as I'm sure you have, the interviews, whether it was Kim Cheadle, the head of the Secret Service, or even Biden. No one wants to really, to me, no one wants to really discuss what happened and then fix the problems or even address the concerns of the American people. And let's not forget, folks, that not only was the president shot at, a brave fireman protecting his family was killed, lost his life, as well as two others seriously hurt. You know, it's more than just a graze on the ear of a president or a presidential candidate. It's the loss of life, of innocent life, people there. So let's keep that, those families, as well as the president, in your prayers. You're right, too. You know, we've gone through history from the Kennedy assassination in 1963, MLK, RFK, and so on, through 9/11, through TWA 800, and so many other things. You can have all the commissions you want, but if the truth doesn't come out, I'm really afraid we're not going to be told the absolute truth, and it's going to be up to us to dig for it and find it, if that's even possible. Do you think that? I mean, are we ever going to collectively, as a population, be able to do enough citizen journalist activities to really find out what happened, or at least raise some really good questions? I mean, do you have faith in someday, soon, hopefully, finding answers to what happened?
I have faith in God Almighty, Doug.
There you go.
I have learned not to have faith in the American people, who have turned away for decades now from God and from truth. We have been so deceived and so programmed and so manipulated and so censored in sharing the truth on social media that so many of the American people either don't know what's going on or don't care to know. And I've been yelling at the top of my lungs for 7 years, begging people to pay attention at this criminal network who are ruining our nation. Their weakest, vulnerable secret is what they do to children. And it's coming out more and more and more, but people still hesitate long and hard to face it because they don't want to face difficulty. People, it's human nature, when you're comfortable, to just be lulled into that security and not deal with that which is uncomfortable. And what I've seen is this weakness of character that has grown so pervasive in our federal government has been that way because we've allowed it. We've voted for people that we thought was going to give us free stuff. We voted for candidates that we didn't bother to vet their background on. People who are complete unknowns come out of nowhere, and we allow them to take over and railroad us into destructive campaigns and policies. And we don't assert ourselves and throw the bums out of office who are betraying us and selling us out. So by taking our hands off the wheel, we've allowed the demons to drive the bus into every destructive obstacle there is. And only, Doug, when we get out of our comfort zones, and I pray that it doesn't mean that it doesn't require us really being driven out of our own homes.
Mm.
Before we realize this is real, this fifth generation warfare is absolutely real. What General Flynn and Boone Cutler have been warning us about is actual. What Yuri Bezmenov warned us about is true. And once we realize, okay, this is warfare, they are ruining things, not out of incompetency, but because they're selling us out. And it's a kind of thing to where we Sorry, we got the puppy in there.
No, that's all right. I got my dog over here, so no worries.
So we were going to really have to assert ourselves. We're going to have to learn how to be the citizens that our founding fathers counted on us being in order to salvage our nation, our constitutional republic, because right now it is being systematically destroyed.
It is. And you mentioned something about the most vulnerable, the children. And I know, having personally witnessed what you've done recently, folks, and we've talked about it with Shatter Ops, you know, Russ's team, and the marvelous work that Craig and his organization has done. But I've often said what we're seeing today is really the blood of the children is the currency of the globalists, and I believe that. So Greg Reese did a report on that very day, last Saturday, when all this took place. Bohemian Grove was just filled with activity, and of course they had the cremation of care ceremony and the so-called sacrificial rite, which I think is not necessarily accidental. I think I see some divine finger pointing here, or at least divine exposure to the evil wiles of the globalists. So, which is why they hate President Trump so much, I believe, because he's able to expose us, or he's willing to expose us. And they can't have that. Is that kind of, am I on track?
I think you are. It's just strange to try to sound the alarm, though, because, you know, Alex Jones had a recon team sneak into the woods there and capture some pretty compelling footage of that Bohemian Grove ceremony. And I know people have short attention span, and I took probably a 30-second clip of these guys walking in the satanic robes with the candles and it's creepy as all get out. And I just posted that on X, on Twitter, and like, what do you make of this? No, but there might have been one comment. So, you know, even though my account's pretty heavily shadow banned and censored, I still have a few people that'll comment on something. They don't see it, or they see it, they don't even know what to make of it. So I think the American populace is so uneducated and so aware that there are satanic cult groups, and that a lot of those in positions of power and authority got those positions by being in those satanic cult groups, and they install each other in key positions as being part of the club. I think the American people don't want to know that. Because what do you do about that? That takes a very thorough and different type of investigation to purge that level of evil out of our system. And it's like people see it and then they don't know what to do, so they don't comment. They look away, really in moral cowardice, because they're not prepared to deal with what is. And it's interesting for me, as one who loves the American people and wants them empowered, and we see and deal with these cases and these networks and these criminal groups and crime rings, trying to show that to the people, it's interesting how sluggish the populace is to respond to that. So I think that's the bigger problem, Doug, is more than all of the corruption and the crooks at the top, is how do we encourage a beaten down and demoralized populace who's been programmed away from God Almighty, away from their power, away from their salvation and their creator, away from the solution. They're in the darkness, and they don't have any hope, so they don't have any moral courage to stand up and face what's wrong. So they turn away in cowardice, just hoping it's going to go away. Well, bullies don't function that way. They don't go away at mere suggestion. You know, they have to be stopped, and we can stop them. But we have to awaken our populace and encourage people, and going around shaking them, going, you can do it. You know, you're a child of the Most High God. Tune in to your creator, and like, let's link arms as citizens and start driving the train and be assertive as active citizens with our civic duties to hold rallies and protest and file petitions and apply leverage to the corrupt politicians who are betraying us. They're supposed to represent our best interests, but they're not. They're representing those who line their pocketbooks. And so we have to get busy and force their hand. We have to be the squeakier wheel, if you will. And that's what we have to learn. So, Doug, no, I don't have any confidence that that's going to change because it's on we the people. And until we change, it's not going to change. And I have faith in the Creator, but we're here as a development ground in this earthly life. We are eternal spirit beings here in a temporary 3D human body. And we are here to learn. And we're here to learn by choosing with our free will to choose from righteousness or rebellion at every step. If you serve yourself, you're serving the dark side and you can end up in sickness and death. If you're following higher principles that lead to healing in life, what the Creator laid out for us to do, what Yeshua walked this earth and taught us and showed us how to be. When we follow that model, everything goes swimmingly and it gets better all the time. When we go the other way, it's the opposite. So we're here to exercise our free will and learn from our mistakes. And until we learn from our mistakes and choose better, we're going to be allowed to go down the bad road and find out what that leads to. That's the process that we're in, Doug. So we the people are the problem because we're allowing evil to manifest itself through weak-charactered people who represent us. Until we realize our power and stand up and legally start flipping tables over, figuratively speaking, in the legal sense, flipping tables over and saying, you're not going to represent us anymore that way. We are the citizens. This is the constitutional republic. We have the accountability and the responsibility to drive our nation and drive the culture. Until we learn that, we're going to get defeated and trounced and abused every single day. So that's the process that has to happen.
You know, we can spend a lot of time, folks, talking about the minutiae, talking about the details, talking about how did this happen, how did that happen, the roof, the distance, the whatever the case might be. Okay, we can talk about that. Those are the facts. But then you look at the bigger picture, which we addressed here, the bigger picture. But then the actual big picture is the God side of things, the spiritual war in which we find ourselves. And that's the battleground that Craig Sawyer is fighting. That's his battleground. He spent his life really fighting for this republic, and it was very effective. But now he's taken it to new levels, and I don't see a lot of people talking about that. And I also mentioned beforehand about seeing, and you talked about this too, about seeing a changed man in Donald Trump as he walked into the RNC. You could see it in his eyes. You could see it in the way he carried himself. I'm going to talk to you about that next here. But first, I want to talk about some actual physical health for our listeners and viewers. Look, folks, I know that a lot of people right now are suffering from pain. And you pick up your ibuprofen bottle and you look at the side effects. It includes heart disease, blood clots, strokes, kidney failure. And again, all of these can be found in the package insert or the on the bottle of an ibuprofen bottle. To top it all off, that medication doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary pain relief, and it's only masking the true problem. Folks, go to this URL. It's in the program description box below, getnativepath.com/Hagman. That's getnativepath.com/Hagman. You know, the cause of the pain many times is inflammation, and a bottle of ibuprofen, Tylenol, or whatever, that's not a solution to your pain. Right now, you can go to getnativepath.com/Hagman to learn more, see your special offer for being a listener of this show. It's not only the other stuff, not only ineffective, it's expensive, downright dangerous, especially for people like us as we get older. You know, it just is. That's why researchers have been saying to add this Antarctic super nutrient 2-year diet. And I'm talking about omega-3 fatty acids, but it's just not any form of omegas. These are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. That's a big difference. The omega-3 content from krill oil has shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, and so on. Reduce inflammation. And I watched my wife actually experience this reduction of inflammation herself by using this product. So, in fact, it outperforms ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol, and it doesn't have the dangerous side effects. So, for a limited time right now, folks, you can grab Native Path Antarctic krill oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Go to getnativepath.com/Hagman right now to get your special offer for being a part of the Hagman Report. Or just click on the link below this video. That's getnativepath.com/Hagman. Again, my guest is Craig Sawyer, a man I have the utmost respect for. And a lot of people are beginning, I think a lot of people aren't talking, but some are beginning to see the spiritual impact of what happened this weekend, the spiritual acknowledgement that, hey, God's hand came in, wind aside, positioning aside, it was the hand of God that actually came in. And that, I believe, and you shared some, you shared some scripture with me, and I believe that's the big story here, isn't it? We're looking at a man who really faced death, and seems to have undergone a change, and many Americans too have undergone this or have seen this and themselves have undergone this. What do you say about that? You're muted, I think.
Yeah.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Yeah, I can feel the hostility in what's going on with our government. And so it's not kinetic war that we need to most fear right now. All the destruction is happening from inside. And when you look at it from a spiritual perspective, it all makes sense, and it's all about control. And when you have someone who's going to buck the system, who's not willing to play beltway ball, he can't be bought out, he's a problem for them. And so by them attacking him, they're attacking us, because he's the one that we believe in to represent us and the things that we want that are in our best interests. And so it feels ugly. And I've heard quite a few people say exactly what I was thinking, is that they felt like this was divine intervention, like the hand of God itself caused him to turn his head right at that instant when that round clipped his ear. And, you know, I heard just this morning a bit of prophecy that was from apparently 3 months ago. And the guy was describing that President Trump, there, the round would go by his ear so close that it would rupture his eardrum. So they haven't given a medical report as to whether or not there was any inner ear damage or not. But just the way that this man touched his ear and described the way that round flew by so quickly, and he actually touched his right ear, I thought, wow, that's eerily close to what we just witnessed happen. And
let me stop you right there. You did send that to me, and I had seen this with your permission. So people who haven't seen it, and again, the link to this will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. You want to play it? You want us to play it?
It's a short clip. I think it would help illustrate what we're referring to, because it's very, I find it very compelling.
Yeah, I did too. I find it very interesting, compelling, and it fits with this spiritual component that we're referencing. This will be clip 4, I think.
Yeah, and then we could go from there, because okay. I think it's of interest.
Okay, here it is.
Over to this prophecy from roughly 3 months ago by this man named Brandon Biggs.
And then I saw an attempt on his life. This bullet flew by his ear, and it came so close to his head that it busted his eardrum. And I saw he fell to his knees during this time frame, and he started worshiping the Lord. He got radically born again during this time frame. I'm talking, people say he's saved now, but he becomes really on fire for Jesus, for what I saw coming.
But here, if I look over at Leviticus 8, 8 is always a new number of new beginnings. It's like there were 8 people on the boat. It's where you get your infinity symbol from. In Hebrew, it would be the letter het. But if I look in 8, beginning in verse 23, and Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear. Now I'm going to read down in the text to 24. That's a number of high authority. So he would take the blood and he anointed Aaron's ear. This is your going from being a citizen to a priest and political figure over God's people, God's nation, in this case, Israel.
I found that very interesting. And folks, by the way, this is not idol worship of a man. This is how God uses men for a very specific purpose. Craig, go ahead and comment.
Yeah, just, you know, I was commenting on Owen's show yesterday about how sluggish the team was at moving President Trump off of that podium. But if that prophecy is what took place, if God chose that moment to speak to Donald Trump down on his knees after having just saved his life, that's profound. That's deep. No wonder. Then if you look at it in that perspective, you could see where it's beneficial, even by divine intervention, that that team stayed there and gave a moment for that communique from the Almighty to happen. And I just find it very interesting and very inspiring. And the next night when President Trump walked into the campaign rally or the RNC, there was a different look in his eyes. There was a different countenance. There was a love and a passion that I had not seen in his face before. And one of his sons has apparently said, "My father is a changed man. He is not the same man. This profoundly changed him." Well, might that have been what took place? If so, that is a very good thing for the American people. A very, very good thing, because there is a war between the kingdoms of heaven and hell. And if our president has been raised up to serve the kingdom of heaven through this time, that is a giant battle victory for the American people. And so we'll just see how it plays out. But I find it very compelling perspective to monitor and to consider as we navigate through this conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people either don't want to, or they almost seem embarrassed to talk about stuff like that. But I know you yourself, as a true warrior, you've faced death right directly in the eyeballs. And I'm sure that changed you in many ways and made you the man you are today, who, again, you have become a warrior on the battlefield, still there, but also recognizing the spiritual power behind what you're doing. And that especially shows, by the way, folks, with Vets for Child Rescue, with what Quicksilver is doing. And it's been no easy task for you, because I know you've been hit by everything possible. And if you want to address that, moving from what happened with Donald Trump, because I think they're interrelated. I think your work with Vets for Child Rescue, saving children, I mean, my goodness, you just had 71 busts of child predators, and you're getting incredible attacks because of that.
Yeah.
Man, it just hurts me by the way, it does hurt me to watch you go through this. If you want to address that, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, so many of our friends and supporters are celebrating. They're like, "You are right over the target. Boy, the demonic cages have clearly been rattled on what you're doing there in Nashville," because there has been the biggest panic and the most frantic, overboard, uncontrolled and unbridled hostility against law enforcement since we made that first arrest there. And we've got 70 warrants to serve. So there's a news reporter that's just gone completely off the map of anything that has to do with journalism and literally trying to disrupt law enforcement operations. So what he's doing now is obstruction of justice, and he's incriminating himself further every day. And Channel 5 there in Nashville is accountable for him. So the legal damage that they're going to sustain, I don't even want to estimate, but they're digging themselves into a very dangerous legal hole. So it feels really encouraging for us to see that we've struck such a nerve and that the enemy is panicking and kind of ripping their own mask off in the process and revealing their motive to stop us from arresting and putting away, putting in prison 71 child predators who statistically, according to National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, rape on average of 70 children each through their lifetime. So that, if you run the math, 71 times 70, that's 4,970 children who will be either traumatized, raped, and murdered, or not, according to whether or not these 70 predators get locked away in a cell to stop them. And so you have this reporter trying to prevent all those arrests and allow those rapes and murders to continue. So the battle lines are clear. The sides are clear, what people stand for and what their motives are. And it is bizarre. When evil manifests itself through people, it is strange, and it is destructive, and it is ugly. But you mentioned Ephesians 6:11, talking about the full armor of God. And I was praying just two nights ago. No, I think it was actually last night, because I talked to you after that. And I told my wife, and I said, man, I just had this understanding fall upon me, and it was so profound and moving for me personally, is what the shield and the full armor of God is for. And the shield shields us from all the attacks of the enemy. And I understood the concept in the physical and the kinetic sense, but I didn't fully comprehend it in the spiritual sense until all these betrayals and that's for child rescue, for us driving right at the aorta of this demonic beast of child trafficking, that I thought, man, why don't we feel stressed out? Why don't we feel like the sky is falling? There's, you know, the enemy means for this to be just completely and utterly destructive. And we're running along just like we ever did, if not more so. And we have a peace about it. So why with all this chaos do we have the peace? I'm like, oh my gosh, our faith has grown so strong. We've grown so much closer to the Father, to Jesus Christ, through all of this learning and this mission and our prayer time together and our studying of the Word, that we have that shield of faith that's all the enemy's fiery darts are falling short and they're not impacting us. We're aware of them, but they fall on their own bitter swords, and in perpetuating false statements, they incriminate themselves and they set themselves up for defamation lawsuits. And we're just like, wow, they're digging their own legal hole. So yeah. Thank you, Father. And it's so those things are becoming more tangible and more obvious. And that's what we're learning through it. So, you know, it's spiritual warfare is real, and evil manifests itself through weak charactered people who allow it in their lives. And eventually, if not checked, it completely takes over and consumes them and drives them into ruin. And that's why, you know, there is such thing as sin, because it's any behavior that ends up leading you ultimately into sickness and death. You know, navigating through that process in this battle that we're learning and exercising all of the principles of spiritual warfare and just carrying out the arrests kinetically with law enforcement, but the rest of it's spiritual. You know, there's a side that doesn't want the truth out, and there's a side that wants us to expose evil, shine the light, so that the people can awaken to it.
And that, Craig, you know, whether we are talking about what happened this past weekend or whether we're talking about your efforts to getting 71 warrants for arrest, but being under attack all of the time, but the peace you find even under when you're under fire in battle, just as President Trump and others in that area, in that venue, there's a peace there, and with the acknowledgement of something greater than us. And you know, it makes me, in a sense, it almost makes me sad for those people who oppose us or who refuse to acknowledge this. The people on the left, primarily, even some on the right, it crosses party lines, but who don't acknowledge the higher power, the guiding hand of God, and the anointment of soldiers like yourself to fight evil. It just. Wow. So all of this is connected.
It is all connected. Well, yeah. It's all driven to the spirit realm.
Yeah.
Everything happens in the spirit realm first, and then it manifests itself in the physical. So we're to be here to love our neighbor as ourselves and to give to them, to contribute to humanity. And the protection that we have is from love. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more time you spend reading the truth, reading his word, and praying and opening your heart to him, the more you get to understand how he works. And then the more tangible his protections are and his blessings are upon your life, because you find that you're seeking his will and you're doing what he would have you do, which is giving good, giving love, speaking truth, and being more like him. And the more you exercise that, the better it feels and the better things get. And it's not that there's no challenge anymore. There's always challenge, because the challenge is for us, not against us. It's for our development, so that we choose how we're going to be internally and how we're going to treat people and how we're going to work through problems and navigate solutions to things. That's part of our long-term development. So it's for us. And it's in that development that you're like, man, there's a lot of love, like any father. You know, look at when you taught a kid to walk, or they're toddling along, and any loving father is going to cheer for the child. Yeah, they're falling down and they're wobbly and they're not doing it perfectly, but they're learning.
That's right.
And the father celebrates that. So spiritual development is the same way. You're trying to get it right and you're all messed up, and but you're trying and you're learning. He sees, he knows our hearts, and he's celebrating, cheering for us. And you don't want anybody out there wandering in darkness, because they're searching for the light. They just don't know where it is. So we're to share the good news with them. Hey, there is hope. There is salvation. There is love. The truth that you're after, your very creator, is that far away. All you have to do is just say yes, say okay, and open your heart, and there he is. And you want them to know that. Some people are hard-hearted, and they're not willing to accept him. And that's their free will. He's given them free will to tune him out and say no. But for those that are genuinely searching, he wants them to discover he's right there, always has been, and them to embrace him. And that's when you see lives radically saved and turn around, and you see drug addicts and rapists and murderers and failed people who are miserable, who are knocking on death's door, completely be radically changed and redeemed. That is inspiring. That is beautiful. That's what my Jesus does.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
You know, and men, especially men, listen to Craig Sawyer, truly a man's man, a man who has fought in battle, faced death. I mean, done just about everything. When you read his bio, I mean, it's like a movie script. I'm telling you. But acknowledge the fact that the fight that we face today, whether it's the fight to expose the truth about all matters, including what happened with President Trump on Saturday, or the evil that's being done to our children. And by the way, I want to say this too before I forget. I do believe a component of this, President Trump did one thing that it's just been sticking in my mind, and that's closing the border also impacts the child sex trafficking. And that has to anger a lot of people, because the flow across the border today, it's a lot different than it was, you know, in 2018, 2019.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been betrayed, Doug. We've been betrayed and sold out. We have as many as 30 million people here from 60 different countries around the world, they're estimating. And a percentage of those are hostiles. The percentage of those are foreign operatives and terrorists and agents from China and whoever else. And God only knows how much equipment and weapons they have here and what all plans are in place and when they're going to detonate, whenever they're going to activate against us. We've been sold out and betrayed. And again, the American people don't have the moral courage to face it. They're just hoping to vote for free stuff, a free cell phone. They'll vote for tyranny and slavery for a free cell phone because they don't know history. They don't understand what our Constitution provides for us. They don't know any of it. And that's by design. Our systems have all been undermined. And this is through a process that we've been disempowered into this state of vulnerability. And now we have that to reverse ourselves out of through a lot of heavy lifting. But the good news is, the awakening is happening. People are starting to shake themselves out of it and go, whoa, wait a minute. We've been lied to about so many things. And we do have the power, if only we'll exercise it. So now we get to start encouraging others and awakening each other and empowering each other and uniting and standing up for what is good, what is true, what is peaceful, what is effective, to restore our nation and make it honorable and effective and peaceful and safe again. Right now, we're hanging by a thread. I would say we're deep in the hole of national debt and vulnerability in our national defense. And I think it's only through a series of miracles that we haven't been nuked yet, or from the inside, or who knows what all attacks are possible. But I think we're in overtime, and we better reverse out of this thing with all fervor in November. And so it's all,
you know, the fight that we are now engaged is a righteous fight. And I think that we have to, as men and women, but men especially, we do have to man up. We have to recognize the spiritual war that's taking place, that everything we're seeing right now is rooted in the spiritual. Acknowledge that, get on your knees, pray. Pray for guidance. Pray that, you know, you're in the right place at the right time. And act like men like Craig Sawyer. Act like, you know, do the things that Craig does. I believe that's our only salvation, because otherwise, you know, we're going to be dead in water. Like you said, you know, we're in a hole. And the first rule of holes is you stop digging. And, you know, so... Vets for Child Rescue. I can't believe how quickly time flies when we talk. But Craig, I think this was one of the most important discussions to have in light of all of the smaller minutiae that we've discussed about what happened last weekend and everything else. I think that what has been neglected and what you have, the void that you have filled with the spiritual component to this, is so necessary, and we have to recognize that. And I thank you for that. And I ask people to support. And if you're on X or Twitter, please follow and retweet, whatever you do, repost the material from Craig Sawyer, and get behind that man, get behind his organization, and ask yourself, what can I do to help him? Because that's where really. Craig's group is really where the fight begins and ends, I believe, because of his saving children. Craig, thank you so very much for, by the way, Contraland, still available, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yep. All right. So, folks, make sure you tune into Contraland, the movie, okay? It's right there on your screen. Click the link. Excellent expose on things taking place. We, again, I thank you, Craig. I do hope that this message resonates with people. I think it will. And I just want to say God bless you. You're a true warrior of God, for God. Thank you for being who you are.
Thank you for having me on, Doug. Appreciate you.
God bless you, my friend.
You as well.
All right, folks, that was Craig Sawyer, Sawman. You know, you can get the details about this past weekend from Owen Troyer and also some other things, but what an important conversation to have, and what a great man Craig Sawyer is. May God bless each and every one of you.